but who are we? And it's the individual who is, and I'm going to translate that word, instruct him. It's a different word than, if this is the only place we find it translated instruct, where it occurs in our English translation in the New Testament. But we can go and track it down in other places just to get an idea of the term. And I'm going to take you over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6. Keep your finger here, if you will, in 1 Corinthians, wherever we are. Trying to find Ephesians here. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 2, keep your finger there. And we'll go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Christ is the subject of, and the reference of whom goes back to Christ in verse 15. But it's out from whom, a little preposition ek meaning out from, as to source, out from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, and by that which every joint supplieth, and so on. I'm not going to finish the verse. I just want to point out that the word that we see in 1 Corinthians 2:16, translated instruct, is translated compacted. And so it's held together as the idea, but it is held together as compacted. Two more references over in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, we're just going to point the word out where it occurs in verse 2, that their hearts, that is the those in Paul hadn't been to Colossae or to Laodicea, and he refers back to those up there in verse 1, but that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love or by love. And so it's their hearts being knit together. And so that's our term. It's translated knit together. And so it's not really instruction there, but it's being something that's knitted, joined together. And down in verse 19 in the same chapter, and so he describes, he says, and not holding the head out from which all the body by joints and bands, having, we're just going to leave out that having nourished, nourishment ministered. It's really, it does deal with nourishment, but it's a little bit, expanded there, just, being nourished, and knit together. And so you have the word knit together again, but it looks at the body of Christ as being knit together. And so it increases, it grows with the, increase from God. And so you have the concept of being, knit together, joined together. And that's sort of that's the notion of this term, as translated, instruct him. And so this is the one place, it only occurs seven times. The other places are a little different, back in the Gospels and Acts, the other references, the other three references. But here, and so I'm going to read it this way, that who hath known the mind of the Lord? But we, that is the one who has been knit together with him, we have the mind of Christ. And so we do have the mind of Christ. And so we do have the capability of thinking the thoughts of Christ with him. We do have that potential because we have the mind of Christ. How do we use the mind of Christ? We have to be pertaining to the Spirit. It's a spiritual man who is able to discern all things. And if you have the mind of Christ, it's the Holy Spirit that makes, that illumines our minds. And we have the mind of Christ as it's in the Word of God. And so we don't really have a reference to the noose anywhere else in the New Testament where it's applied to Christ's mind. We do have phroneo when in Philippians 2, 5, 6, he says there, that let this mind be in you, but it's phroneo. You reflectively think the same thing. And so it's a different mind term there. The only other place, and there you have that humility of mind that God the Son had when he left heaven's glory, and when he came to earth by becoming a man, he emptied himself of that outward manifestation of deity that he'd always had eternity past and up until the point when he came to be flesh. And so that's, again, something that we will notice, this is the one place though when it speaks of the mind of the Lord, the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ does have to do with the fact that Christ does, he has in his mind, he does know the things of God also, but it's the Holy Spirit who makes those things known, who reveals them to us in the Word of God. And so the fact that we have the mind of Christ, we have to think his thoughts with him as they're revealed to us in the Word of God. And as the Holy Spirit enables us to know those things, we can think his thoughts with him. But it comes from the Scripture. It's not just that we think anything we want to as we live, but we do have that potential to line up with Scripture in our thinking and to use the mind of Christ, but it's connected with he that is spiritual. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Well, when you get down to it, we don't know all of the mind of God, but we do know we do have the mind of Christ, the resurrected and glorified one, and we can know the things, those things as we do relate to Scripture when we are Spirit-filled. And that is something that the carnal man can't do. He's still a napios. He may have the mind of Christ, but he's a napios. He can't handle the solid food. And so he's really limited as to what he can learn when it comes to the Word of God and studying it through. And so again, these are, this is a reference to, we've looked at two men now, and another week, Lord willing, sometime here, we'll look at the carnal man and spend a little bit of time developing him as we move along and dealing with the soul and the spirit, because we're dealing with the terms that are built off of soul and spirit. And so again, the soulish man, he pertains to the soul. Spiritual man pertains to the Holy Spirit. And the spiritual man, he does have the capability to know the things, to discern all things that God has revealed in his word, and the Holy Spirit's the one who does that ministry to the spiritual man. Now I want to move on in 1 Corinthians and see another thing that reference to spiritual. And the next reference is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in the context of 1 Corinthians 14, you have different gifts referred to. You're in a context of spiritual gifts. Within the context, you do have some gifts that were temporary, that were revelatory, that were available at the beginning of the church. They died out with the end of the apostolic era, and as time went on, and as people with these gifts at the beginning of the church on the day of Pentecost, some who had these gifts, they began to die out. And so as they died out, these gifts disappeared, and then there were some other church issues that came up at this time within the churches. But I'm just going to drop into verse 37, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. And so he says, since some man supposes himself to be a prophet or spiritual. And so there's some man there, they may have somebody in mind, but they're, we don't know anything beyond that, but there's somebody who supposed himself to be a prophet. And so he would have the gift of prophecy, or that he was spiritual. And so he was supposed himself to be one who was him pertaining to the spirit. But it's a supposition. And when he uses the word think here, it's a word that has the idea of it's a subjective thinking process. It's a supposition. He doesn't have all of the facts laid out there. He's just supposing that he is, and so he may be trying to prophesy, and he just has this thought, this supposition concerning himself that he's a prophet or spiritual, and so he thinks that he's spiritual. Well, he says, let him acknowledge, let him know fully experientially that the things that I write unto you are the commandments from the Lord. And so those who were prophesying and such, he says, well, if they're contradicting anything Paul has to say, these things, let him know that what Paul speaks here, what he writes to them, they're the commandments of the Lord. They're not just Paul writing. And so if they want to disagree with it, well, Paul is writing, not from himself, but from the Lord. And so if somebody thinks they're spiritual and they're coming up with something else, let them be known, let it be made known to them that, he's not, writing on his own accord though, and from himself. But if some man, is ignorant, let him be ignorant. And so that's, we'll leave that context there, as I think we see it, just again in reference to somebody supposing that they're spiritual. Now, I think the word dokeo, to suppose here, a suppositional thing, more of a subjective thing. If it was more of an objective thing, he could use another term. He might have used the term nomizo, that he supposes based upon objective fact that he is, what he's doing, would come across, as coming from the Spirit, and he would be prophesying. It would be clear from what goes on, but this man that he describes here, apparently does not have, he doesn't use the term for objective grounds for his supposition here. It's very subjective to him. Now, the next place we want to go to is over in Galatians. And Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, we come to the word spiritual again, used of a man who is spiritual. And so, you that are spiritual, he says here. And so you that are spiritual. Now, he says, brethren, we could read it, though a man be overtaken, or if a man should be overtaken, or since a man is overtaken in a trespass. The English says fault here, but he's overtaken in a trespass. He's overtaken in something that's offensive to God. Now, a trespass is not sin. He can trespass, but the trespass is something that's going to lead. It may lead to sin. And so when you get to James chapter 1 and verse 14, he's given it a place in his mind, so to speak, and maybe made a lust his very own. And so he's going to be decoyed and baited by that as he's being tempted. And so he's going to be tempted to see what he's going to do, whether he's going to do good or bad, but he's going to be solicited to do that which he ought not to by the lust, by a strong desire that would come to him from one of his three enemies. But when he's overtaken, it's like the term here is kind of like overtaken by surprise in a sense. It kind of just comes upon him, but it's a trespass though, something offensive to God. Now, if he's overtaken, he hasn't, it with a trespass, he hasn't sinned. And now we'll take it back to Adam. When Adam in the garden, when Eve offered him the fruit of the tree, Adam had a strong desire put before him, but it was when he looked at that fruit and whatever went through his mind when he looked at Eve, looked at the fruit, whatever, and he heard her offer it to him, as soon as he gave it a place in his mind that he would take that fruit, that he would eat, it was a possibility. As soon as he did that, it was an unrighteous thought. And when he did that, that was something that was offensive to God. It was a trespass. And so you can see that in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, where you see his act of sin, but he also had a trespass that preceded that. The offense preceded the sin. And so he gave it a place in his mind, and that's when he fell spiritually. But here's a man who's overtaken in a trespass. It's another believer. And so he's overtaken with a trespass. How do you know? Well, you can maybe see something in his activity, something that he says, that he's ready to move off into a realm that would lead to sin. And so you see that there's some tendency, there's something where he's given it a place in his mind, and now he's in a place where he can be tempted, and he can be drawn out, he can be baited, it's something that can get him. He's at that place, though, where he's given something a place in his mind, we could say, and it's something that's offensive to God. Well, if you observe something where somebody is doing that, now if he's overtaken by sin, then God will deal with him, but you can't do that. But this is a trespass, though, an offense before God. And so he says, he addresses you that are spiritual. You that which are spiritual. So the spiritual man is one who is to do something. Now we said that being spiritual, the word spiritual doesn't always apply to every believer. And so it does apply here, though, that there are times when you are, as a believer, you can be spiritual and you can know that you're spiritual. Maybe nobody else can be sure of it, but you can know that you are spiritual. You can know that you are pertaining to the Spirit. The best way to know that you're pertaining to the Spirit is where your mind is, and also by what you emanate, what's coming forth from you. If it's fruit of the Spirit, and if you're doing the will of God in God's way, and you know that you are pertaining to the Spirit, then you can know that you are spiritual. Otherwise, he wouldn't say to you that are spiritual. And so there is that possibility to know that you are spiritual. And so that's the spiritual man again. But if you that are spiritual, he says, you restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now, I want to go back and look at Mark chapter 1 with that word restore. You've heard it before, I'm sure, those who are here. But back in Mark chapter 1, we come to the sons of Zebedee. The Lord is calling his disciples as he's walking along the sea. And you find in verse 19, it says, and when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. They were restoring their nets, but they were mending their nets. And so this term does have that notion of mending something, mending nets. You can mend somebody. It was also used in surgery in the day. If somebody had a broken leg, you set the leg. You would set it straight, kind of an idea. But you had the idea of mending or setting something straight. Well, you go, the one who's spiritual, he can go to the one who's overtaken in a trespass, and he can set him straight. He can knit him together. How's he going to do it? Well, unless his gift is exhortation, still needs to be bound within the bounds of Scripture, but he's going to go and you use the Scripture as the Holy Spirit would lead you. You go and deal with that individual who is overtaken in a trespass. And so the spiritual man can go and he can set him straight as such an one. But he's to do it in a spirit of meekness. Now the fruit of the Spirit is not soulish, it is spiritual. The fruit of the Spirit is something that the Holy Spirit produces. And when we come to meekness, meekness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so when you look at meekness, it does relate to our human spirit. So if you go to, if you're spiritual, you do have that potential to direct the fruit of the Spirit. And when you do so, you go and you speak to that individual who's overtaken by a trespass. You go to him in a spirit, in your human spirit of meekness. And so you need to be directing a part of the fruit of the Spirit when you go to such an individual. But as you go to him, you go in a spirit of meekness. That is, you have an objectivity of mind. And this is the kind of a thing, we won't go through the background of this term, but it does have the idea of having objectivity, an objectivity of mind when you come to the individual. And that's something that's very important. So if you're spiritual and you see someone that's overtaken in a trespass, you should go if you're led by the Spirit, I would say. But he says you he that is spiritual, you that are spiritual, you can restore him. You set him straight. But you do it in a spirit of meekness. You have an objectivity of mind so that you're not being caught up by the soul. Because if you go and you begin to say, well, you poor fellow, you're being overtaken by a trespass here. I can see that you're being overtaken and your emotions get involved. Well, you're on a slippery slope. And that's why Paul goes on to say you need to have an objectivity of mind in dealing with an individual who is overtaken by a trespass. He goes on to say, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And so it comes back to a consideration of yourself, though, because you, if you are soulish and you don't have an objectivity of mind when you go, you can be drawn into the same thing that this man is drawn into. And so when he says you consider yourself, this is the word that we get our word scoped from, but you scope him out. You scope yourself out. And so when it says considering yourself, you put a mark on yourself. You observe yourself in a spirit of meekness, objectivity of mind. You keep an eye on yourself here, lest you also be tempted. And so we see that the offense, the trespass, does involve temptation. And so the man is being tempted, but it's still in his mind. He hasn't sinned. He hasn't carried it out. But you, if you observe that, then as you're spiritual, the Holy Spirit can lead you as to what to do and how to deal with the individual, but you set him straight. But you better do so with a human spirit of meekness, objectivity of mind, and you put a mark on yourself so that you don't get caught up in the same temptation, because it can, you could get involved with it, and so you could get drawn into the offense or the trespass that this individual is drawn into. And so that's, again, when we look at one can know, and that's the thing we point out here. There's the potential to know that you are spiritual and you can set him straight. But as you go back, and since we're in Galatians 5, we'll notice that you do have walking by means of the Spirit, in verse 16, before chapter 6. But you do walk by means of the Spirit. You'll have victory over the flesh. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under any kind of law, verse 18. And so it's important. And then you have the fruit of the Spirit. And then in verse 25, you live by the Spirit. Let us also walk by the Spirit. And so you have some references to the Holy Spirit that lead into this. But the spiritual man. The spiritual man is a man who is able to order his affairs by the Holy Spirit. If he has a temptation that would relate to the flesh, the Holy Spirit takes it over in verse 17, but you need to order your life by the Spirit. One last thing I want to look at, well, it's not the last thing I'm going to refer to here, but I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5, back to a key verse. I would have put this before, but I think I passed over before. Where I wanted to pick it up, we'll go to 5:18. And when you look at 5:18, he says, stop being drunk with wine, wherein is unsavingness. The word excess is built off of the word sozo, and it says it's unsavingness with a negative letter in front of it. But you keep on being filled by means of the Spirit. So in Ephesians 5:16, you walk, order your life by means of the Spirit. Here you keep on being filled by means of the Spirit. And so you can be filled by means of the Spirit over and over again. And that's when you're filled by means of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit makes up for your inability, your deficiency in life. It makes up for your inability to live the Christian life and to manifest the life of Christ. And so this is where the Holy Spirit makes up for our deficiency when you're spirit-filled. We can't do it on our own, but it is up to whether we're spiritual or not. And if you're spiritual, you will be filled by means of the Spirit, and He will make up for your deficiencies and enable you to live the Christian life. Otherwise, it's done in the flesh. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does, and we find the Holy Spirit related to it, I think we'll just look at one reference. We'll do on the first and the others, but we'll go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. And we'll see another thing that the Holy Spirit enables us to do, that we have supernatural abilities. And each one of us has a spiritual gift. And they're referred to as pneumaticos, and so they are spiritual, but they're referred to them as spiritual gifts. They're charisma, they're gifts, but they are also, and so here we find their, Paul wants to impart some charisma, some grace, gracious gift, but it's a spiritual gift, a pneumaticon gift. And so Romans 1:11, for I long to see you. And that's a good way to translate the word. There at the beginning of the verse, he says, I long for, I yearn for you. Very strong feeling here to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established, so that the church there might be established. They were lacking a spiritual gift. Paul wanted to go there, probably to lead somebody to the Lord, you know. He doesn't spell it out, but he wants to impart some spiritual gift to that congregation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul didn't want the Corinthians to be ignorant of spiritual gifts there, and wanted them to know them. And also, he encourages them to pursue love and to be zealous in zeal can be used in a good sense of spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 14:1. So the Holy Spirit also imparts spiritual gifts to a believer. Now, you use your spiritual gift, I would say you use it best when you are spiritual, but you do have a gift, and you may use it more in a normal sense if you're carnal, but you still have a spiritual gift either way. But the Holy Spirit is the one who imparts it. A spiritual gift to us. It is a spiritual gift and does relate to our spirit by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll look at one more thing here. We want to go over, I'm going to look at some of the results of spirit filling, and we're going to just do it quickly here. And going back to Ephesians chapter 5, when you look at the results of being spiritual, I did a forum paper on this some years ago and developed the subject of how do you know if you're spiritual, and we drew it out a lot more than this, so I just want to point out some things out of the context, pull them out of the context of spirit filling and walking by means of the Spirit. But if you have in Ephesians 5:19, it says speaking to yourselves. Now this isn't speaking, but notice he says speaking, not singing, but speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now you come to psalming, singing, and psalming, making melody in your heart to the Lord. But this is these are songs that are in the heart, and so that you can have a singing heart, you could say. That's one result of spirit filling. Also, if you're spiritual, another thing you can count on that you're spiritual, if you're thankful, giving thanks always at all times in behalf of all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then submitting yourselves, being subject one to another. And so not just wives to husbands and husbands to wives, but you're to be all believers, submit for the benefits you can receive from other believers. And so one thing, if you're not thankful, and when we're not thankful, we're not spiritual. If you're grousing about everything all the time, which sometimes it tells you where you are. Now, back to Galatians chapter 5, I just want to come back and notice another result of spirit filling is that you are capable of using the fruit of the Spirit. And we know that it's a singular fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so you have the fruit of the Spirit. You can direct the fruit of the Spirit. And again, we could develop the results of that and the signs that you are spiritual. We could develop it further than that. Like I say, we could go a lot further as we did in a form paper. But that's looking at the spiritual man. He is in a right relationship to the Holy Spirit. He's pertaining to the Spirit. He has the potential to emanate the things from the Spirit. And so if you see the fruit of the Spirit, it gives you a hint, a good hint, that that individual is a man who is spiritual. And so that's where we'll have to stop today. Father, we're thankful again for your word as we've been able to look at it today and as you've made it available to us. We're thankful again that we do have the potential to live out the life of the indwelling Christ and eternal life when we do reckon ourselves dead to the sin nature on the one hand, but alive to God in your Son. And so we're thankful again that we have the potential then to bring glory to you and to match up to your opinion of us in Christ when we do live out that life as those who are enabled totally by the Holy Spirit to do so in the realm of our human spirit. Again, we're thankful for our salvation and anticipate our future tense salvation when we will be 100% saved. So we do anticipate that day when your Son will come. Amen.